This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
The more authentic, the better for me.
Usually I'm pretty transparent, so I'm sure you'll be all right. So,
yes. No. Okay, here we go. Okay. Hi, so I'm Virgie Rodriguez here with A Race of Your Own, where inspiration leads to resilience. And today's guest I'm really excited to have here from Detroit, relocated to Oakland, California, raised by her mother and grandparents. She navigated a challenging adolescence, defending herself in the streets of Detroit. But her resilience earned her the nickname Gigi, the original gay gangster. She's appeared in American Gangster Trap Queen Season 2, furthering cementing her legacy. And in 1999, moved to Los Angeles to build her styling career. And she's worked with people like Patti LaBelle, Eve, Tracee Ellis Ross, DMX, and more. Welcome to the show, Dwayne Curry.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
I just want to say, you have your biopic.
Yes.
That has just premiered on BET Plus, called Fighting to Be Me, the Dwayne Curry story.
Absolutely.
And I saw it. I went to the premiere here in Los Angeles. And there's one thing that stood out. A friend of mine, you know, came with me and we went. And it was, there's this through line of proud.
Yes.
The people that were around you that were proud of you no matter what. And I just want to say, like, for me, that really kind of was the one thing that I took away from that, that it's like how important it is to have people around you that let you live in your authenticity.
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at it, it's a story of love. It's not about between a man and I, but it's just the unconditional love all the way through in and throughout. You know, with family and friends, and because my heart is so big and it's so open. So, you know, complete transparency. What you saw on the screen is exactly what it is. Now, I will tell you what was where they did embellish it, and I was.
Were you kind of over it?
Yeah, well, I wasn't over it. It was just like, I said, okay, I see what they're doing. You know, Uncle Leon, he's definitely, or he was, you know, because past tense, rest in peace. Girl, when I gave him that Rolex watch, he kept it.
That part.
He kept it. So, you know, he didn't like a lot of stuff that I was doing, but, you know, he was always, you know, pushing me. To just be better and good, you know. He wanted purity, but he didn't get it.
What I feel also from taking away from that story was, and your story, is resilience. Is true resilience. Is that no matter what was happening, you got back up. You got back up. You went toe-to-toe with whatever was going on, and you got back up and you did it. You got your salon, or you went into styling, or you, and then your relationship with Lisa Rae as well.
Yes.
And having, because in the industry, as we know, you know, we talk about that too, is you don't find that as much, right? Authenticity. Yes. Yes. Having people that look at you in the industry, your peers, yes, and believe in you and see something in you that sometimes, I know for me, that happens. Sometimes I don't see it in myself, right? Mm-hmm. So the importance of that and keeping those people around you. And I saw that she was at your premiere as well. Yes. So that friendship seems to have lasted.
Yes. It's Lisa Rae is like a big sister, you know, and, you know, she always embedded in me when I was feeling down. And, you know, she was like, you got to fight. You got to fight. Like, you, this is not forever. This is temporary. Mm-hmm. You know, so she did that for me in ways that, you know, I can't even really articulate, mm-hmm, you know, because I was basically ostracized from the industry. At least it seemed like to me, mm-hmm, you know, being a stylist, going to prison, her and Yo-Yo, mm-hmm, you know, Yo-Yo was just like, you know, she's always empowering me. And, you know, she turned around and showed up in Oakland and surprised me because she was supposed to come to the LA premiere, but she came to Oakland. So those, mm-hmm, two were, that were in the, that are very prevalent and relevant in the industry. It was kind of like, you know how when you fall down or if you hurt your ankle or your leg and you got to have somebody hold you up, that's what they did. You know, and it's like I had just, it's always been this halo of women, mm, over me. Mm. And yeah, so she's impactful. So is Yolanda. And, you know, it's amazing.
And it's interesting because like that you would say that you're like, you know, it was kind of challenging in the industry. And I don't, like, for me, watching your story, it didn't seem like it because you were working and you had your salon and you were, you know, doing your thing. Like, it at least that's, again, you know, that's what it looked like to me. That's what it looked like to me. I don't know. Like, I there's something about, like, making it look easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, there's, like, a strength to that.
No, absolutely. When I used to always get into it with the counselor. Now, mind you, I did drugs way back. But since I had done drugs before, I knew the type of effect it would have on you. But to regain a lighter sentence, I took the RDAP program. Mm-hmm. You know, which is the recovery program. You go through, you know, different stages and phases and things of that nature, and they give you like 18 months off. And a lot of stuff that, especially her, what she was seeing, like you were seeing a perception,
mm-hmm,
I made her aware that perception is not reality.
Mm.
You know, just because you see something, it's not always what it seems to be,
mm-hmm,
you know. And she was trying to challenge me. I wasn't really trying to challenge her. It was just the fact,
mm-hmm,
that what you're seeing and what you're assuming, it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
So when people come up with perception, I made it look easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really only as hard as you make it. You know, it's contingent upon you, on how you move and orchestrate things. I just, you know, and then when you have a village, you know, mm-hmm, they always say it takes a village to raise a child. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm grown. I'm grown as hell, but all of my family Lisa Ray, Yo-Yo. Then all of my family, my mother, my brother, my sister, they was like, you could do this. And everybody was like, you need to go back into styling. And, you know, who are you going to style? I mean, when I was styling, I was pulling up in 500 Benzes and Maseratis and, you know, dripped in diamonds. And I didn't have the same embodiment of security that I had before. Because, I mean, I can't go to Gucci and pull from Gucci and I'm riding a bus. I had to ride the bus. And then, you know, living on Skid Row and things of that nature. And I can't take them clothes down there.
So were you on Skid Row where? Up in Oakland?
No. Here in LA? Skid Row here. Wow. On 5th and 6th.
Right here, downtown.
St. Julian.
Where the Mission is.
Absolutely. You know, wow. And when you look at it, God puts you through certain tests. Mm-hmm. And he knows that I've already been down that road with getting high. Mm-hmm. So I guess God said, let me place her here and let's see if she really wants it. Mm-hmm. And let's see if she's getting ready to be ready to do the work. You know, because every day you walk in down Skid Row and everything. I'm not saying I'm the cutest thing or whatever, but I'm saying,
yeah, yes.
You know, you got a few little booger wuffs down there and they get attention. So yeah. I was getting a lot of attention and my whole thing was, they was like,
well, the safety thing,
beautiful.
Right?
That's what they would call me.
Yeah.
They call me beautiful. Beautiful. You sure you don't want? I said, look, you asked me one time before. Mm-hmm. If I got high, I told you no. Anytime after this will be disrespect. Mm-hmm. And I won't acknowledge you anymore. And so, therefore, they stopped and they respected it. So I believe that was one of my tests that I actually passed with God. Because he like, I mean, you have to pay attention to the signs.
Having faith is what I'm hearing you say, but also like drawing that healthy boundary for yourself.
You have to have faith, and then you have to have faith in the people that are surrounding you and that are coveting you and that actually really, really do love you. That's why it's a story of love, you know, resilience. It's love all the way across the board.
And your mom.
Yes, my mommy.
Your mommy.
My mommy.
No matter what, was foundational, right? Having that foundation, having that person that knew you best, matter what, you know, and knows you best. And the actress, and her name is slipping me right now, who played
which is AJ.
She's amazing.
She killed it.
She
That was my baby, and I didn't want anyone else. I was not having anybody else. I mean,
she was phenomenal, but even her and her way of portraying your mom,
yes,
that came through, right? Like, like you're my baby, no matter what. Like, I'm going to support you. It's that foundation, right? So it just seems like it's just such a great story of like. I just keep going back to resilience because it was something coveting you through your life.
Yes.
Something was driving you to, no matter what happened, you got through.
I had a halo over my head, you know, and my mother is so strong.
You have something on your eyelash and it's driving me nuts.
What is it? Please get it off. I can't. Girl, you're going to probably pull it off.
What I'm saying.
Probably pull it off. Let me.
Okay, no, I got it. No, you still have the lash on.
What is it?
It was a little like.
Girl,
wisp.
It's a.
It was driving me nuts.
Look, let me tell you, my niece, it was she did, nuts. Well, what is it looking like now? I hope it's not a mess.
No, it's not.
No, my niece, she did my eyelashes. She's 13 years old, and she lives in Oakland.
She just did
She did them when I was in Oakland. And, excuse me, I can't get them off. I'm like, what glue
what
she
does she use? What did she use?
Girl, I don't know, but whatever she did, they on there and I love it. They're not going
anywhere.
None. Period.
Period.
Yeah.
Period. But your halo and just throughout your life, like your story, and what kind of drugs were you doing at the time? Like what?
At that time, my friends and I, we would just really smoke weed, and you know, we were like the average little 16, 17-year-olds, and you know, we would at that time, I guess what they call now ecstasy, we would do mescaline, which it wasn't, that was just kind of like a little recreational. Mm-hmm. But what took me down mm-hmm. was crack. And when it came down to that, and this is so crazy because when you think about it, I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, one of my friends, she had went to New York. She mm-hmm. came back. She was like, it's this new thing that's going on. And they smoking 51. So they would take a $50 rock and they would crush it up and they would put it in the weed.
Oh my
or
God.
In a cigarette. And we would smoke it. And it was just like the best thing. But my whole thing was, is that, okay, well, I can smoke it, but I'm not smoking it out of no pipe because I'm not no crackhead. That is the most insane shit. Because, girl, if it wasn't nailed down, it had to go.
You made it make
go.
Sense for you, though.
It's got to go.
But you made it make sense for you.
At that time. At that time. Now, when I look at it, I'm like everybody else that's probably listening.
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeBack.com.
Man, it's like, bitch, you crazy. But you got to remember I was 17, 18.
Right.
So I'm not even
thinking straight. We weren't thinking. Nobody was thinking straight.
Mentally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
None of us were thinking straight.
So it was bad, but it was the worst experience. It was the worst experience because the only thing I kept thinking about when I was leaving Detroit was, God, because I'm on a Greyhound bus for 3 days Oof. And two nights.
Straight?
Girl, yes, straight. So I was like, I said, God, if you could just relieve me from the disease of addiction, then I promise I won't touch it no more. Just make me not want it. You know, I didn't, and people don't understand when you have a drug addiction of that magnitude like I had, it's no way that I could have not done a geographical and gotten everything together. Mm-hmm. And by the grace of God, there was Uncle Leon. So when I say that he literally saved my life, he really, really did. You know, because he was very impactful and he was embracing. And once I got that embracement from him and my mother, I just soared. It was a wrap. I didn't care what nobody else said. It didn't matter. My mother accepts me, because my whole thing was is I would be denounced. Mm-hmm. You know, that's mm-hmm. anybody that's coming out mm-hmm. and they're dealing with their sexuality because they don't know the chain of events. They don't know the direction on how people will sit up there and accept you.
You were still a teenager at that time, right?
Well, pretty much I was. Yeah. I mean, I've always known from knee high, you know, in kindergarten. I've always known. But when you get that type of acceptance from the ones that are the most important to you, then it's great. And then having money after I got to be really coming into my whole self, that helps a lot.
Right.
You know, because can't nobody say shit, because now you got to come to me and you need some money. So what you got to say?
And I keep hearing like unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
It's something about being unstoppable, right? And so you come across now having cash, right? Now That's having this money and now having like building up this confidence. So now you have your family that supports you and now the external world is showing you too, like, hey, Dwayne. We see you.
And then having people like Butchie inside of the film telling me, you know, and Delon and I, we were talking about this earlier because we did an interview. And I was speaking to the interviewer and I was actually telling him that, you know, we always said, or he always told me, that I was fierce, that I was fabulous, that I was beautiful. And then he said, bitch, fuck it. You are everything.
That part.
And so in that love thyself mirror, which I looked at it every day before I went out, and I was just like, I would say it. And now I believe it. I'm sure y'all could tell. But no.
Can't tell at all. Not at all. Yeah. But I was going to say self-love, like that journey to self, like the, no matter how many people are outside of you telling you, I see this in you. If you don't see it for yourself, you know, and the importance, you keep saying God, you keep going back to God, you keep going back to, you knew there was something in you.
Yes.
That it's like a. It's hard to explain. You can't put it in words because when you're driven, when you, there's a purpose.
Right.
I talk a lot about purpose.
Right. Exactly.
And when you step into your purpose.
Right.
Nobody's going to stop you.
People. I mean, it's. I feel so sad for the people that does not have support. Mm-hmm. You know, I had the support. Mm-hmm. It was just strictly unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And whatever they needed to do in order to make sure Eddie or Dwayne was okay, then they made sure they did it, especially my mother. Mm-hmm. She is a renegade.
A mother's love.
Oh, yeah. It's nothing like
a mother's love.
And then to be able to do a biopic, I'm still alive, and she's alive, and my sister and brother, that's amazing. Because a lot of times people get their flowers when they've passed on, and they have been here to be a testimony in this story. You know, my little sister, she's so elated. I don't think we talked this much ever before, but I love it though.
Yeah.
Because she's proud and my mother is extremely proud. She's talking about, if I'm going to send out flyers, I want people to quit calling me. I said, Mommy, this is what you asked for. Hey. Like, we just got to ride the wave. You know, it's the truth. We telling the truth and it's good.
You're a team. You did it together.
Yeah. Well, shit. Right? She did it first. She a renegade. You know, when it comes down to it, you know. Right. If it was not for her, I wouldn't be who I am. Right. And then with my grandparents, you know, embellishing all of all the elements of knowing how to eat a steak. Knowing when to speak. You know, a lot of people don't know how to eat a steak and things of that nature. They just don't really know etiquette too well. But them being from the South and where they came from, and for them to come about with that type of elegance and steal that into the family, mm-hmm. throughout the family tree. I mean, it's a blessing. I couldn't even, somebody asked me one time, this one interview, it was so funny. He said, what's your survival food or something like that? And I was like, well, what did you eat? He said, well, you know, when you younger and you poor and you don't really have nothing too much that you're going to eat. And I'm like,
that's a weird question.
I mean, I thought it was weird too.
That's a weird question.
And yeah. I said, well, you know, I listen to Kendrick Lamar, which is funny.
Yeah.
And he said, I remember peanut butter sandwiches or honey something. I don't know. But I didn't like none of that shit.
Right.
Because every Sunday we had dinner. Proper. So my grandfather was a professional chef. So we had steaks or baked chicken, or he might even throw some lobster. So I'm like, yeah, we lived in the ghetto, but
we ate well.
We ate real good. That's probably why I eat less now. So, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just seems like, because I, listening to you and listening to your story and like having the people around you, that you were able to just be yourself and come out to your mom.
Yeah,
you know, the way you did. It's like when I was in college, I had a lot of friends that came out to me.
Oh, good.
Because they couldn't come out to their parents.
Because you that girl. You are that girl where, you know, you have that comfort. Because I have girlfriends that are like that too.
Yeah.
But when you have that sort of nurturing.
Yeah.
And we feel like it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then we will confide in you. Because I had girlfriends like that, and you guys would just embrace us.
Yeah, the motherly.
Yeah,
like the motherly,
but you didn't know it was motherly.
No, and I was in college. Was just not,
exactly.
I didn't know. I was like, go ahead. Okay, I'm going to be.
And they loved it, though.
Yeah, no. I would play the parent that was like mad, and then I'd play the parent that was like accepting.
Right.
Both.
No,
like, get
and
out
that's
the house.
What we like.
You know, like we would do extremes.
No,
you know?
Definitely. My girlfriends called me on my shit. Like you're saying, you know, it's like, I understand, but check this out. And then when we come with something that is so vulnerable about us, then it's the embracing that we feel that safety net.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is my friend.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You feel like this is really, really my friend, and I can go to her about anything.
And it won't matter. Exactly. And that, so that's why hearing that your mom was just accepting from the beginning and seeing that in the movie was great to see, because it brought me back to college and my friends coming out to me and me being like, some of them being like, they didn't really accept what I said.
Absolutely.
You know, and them having to live with that at that time, right? Do you want more vodka?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure. I want to make sure you're comfortable. Okay. When you were working as a stylist and working with all these artists and people, you know, when did the, and I'm going to kind of dig in here because, you know, you did serve some time and that was just for the credit card fraud, right?
Yes.
Was that really something like, I saw it in the movie, but I wanted to like think.
Well,
like,
it was fraud, period. You know, when it came down to it, you know, not just the credit card fraud, the wire fraud.
And was it like an addiction? Because you had the drug. So, like, to me, I was like, was that like, you know, like you have an addictive personality. So with this drug, but then was that also kind of like an addiction in that sense? You know what I mean? Where it's like it became one thing and maybe you did it once and you did it twice and then like it just kind of snowballed.
I think. Honestly, when it came down to it, I think the addiction for me was getting more money to provide for my family.
Mm.
So I've never had to really go out and look for money, mm-hmm. it's always found me.
Nice.
You know,
well, that's a good gift to have.
Well, I mean, well, not, you know, we don't want to know.
Right.
In a different way, like we're doing it now.
Exactly.
So
let's be clear.
Yeah.
We're being clear.
But I think that was the addiction because I was not aware that I created such a lifestyle for them. Mm. And I had to keep it up. My sister had a Benz or a Range Rover. My brother had a 745. My mom had a G-Wagon. I had a Maserati. It was a whole lot going on. And I'm paying all the car notes.
All the bills. All the. Yeah.
So you could only imagine. And then you got a mortgage that's $10,000 a month. You know, so it's just, it's a lot. And then... Not to, you know, when it comes down to it, it's like all other people mm-hmm. that pretty much depend on you. So I think the addiction was more so making sure that they were okay and they didn't have to really want, mm-hmm. you know, because that was my whole thing. The way I grew up, it wasn't a bad way, but I wanted my siblings to be able to have much more and much more notoriety and everything.
More than you had.
I definitely wanted that. Yeah, my little sister is spoiled, but not in a bad way. She's spoiled in a good way because she's grown. And my little brother, he's the quiet one.
You became the breadwinner.
Yes, I
like did. So you felt like a certain sense of responsibility. Like, well, if I'm enjoying this, well, why wouldn't I spread the wealth?
Oh no, they are totally adorable because what has happened with everything that I have done, you know, is we've switched roles. So it's kind of like they take care of me, you know, and they make sure that I'm good, you know, because they're in positions to where they could make sure that everything is good across the board.
Yeah.
And so that feels good that I'm not forgotten. And that's that unconditional love.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Of course. I mean, I don't, you know, it's like, especially with where we come from. And I was just talking to another guest about this. It's like we might not have had a lot, but our family is everything, right? I mean, at least for me too. Like growing up, I grew up in a single parent home. So my mom, she was, and it still is, everything, you know, and that's a blessing, right? That's not something that we can take for granted, right? So having that responsibility and feeling like, well, I just wanted to provide for them, right? So there's something that I always talk about on the show, which is, you know, race of your own, being like staying in your own race, right? That in life, there's going to be peaks, there's going to be valleys. Sometimes you're going to just plateau and sometimes it'll just be tumbleweeds, right? What piece of advice will you have for folks now that we're Dwen 2.0, here we are moving forward. You have your biopic out, all these lessons that you've learned. I mean, you're really an advocate, I feel like, at this point. I mean, you're truly an advocate for resilience, at least for me and from the outside looking in, right?
That.
Yes, of course. And I really do mean that, especially with watching your film. You know, where you are at now, like, what would you say? What's a piece of advice you would give people to stay in a race of your own? And with your story, with everything, where do you see yourself next? What do you want to do next with that? Right? Because I see you as an advocate in that sense.
Well, I think I probably need to ask Tiffany that. Because what we Tiffany? Want, Tiffany.
What do we want, Tiffany?
We're doing a series.
That's amazing. What?
A series.
That's amazing.
It's gotta be a series.
She's a serial entrepreneur if you watched it in the movie.
Yeah.
So constantly when she came back, she started a cleaning service. She's always started a business.
Right.
So
you're really doing a series?
Now she's telling this story, opening the door for other people.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's in conversation.
Okay.
And so everybody should be happy because they want more. The comments that I have gotten has been amazing.
Yeah.
Extremely supportive when I was in prison. And I would just write. And not just the series, but the book. Because I'm sure people want to be able to read the book. You know, and so we're just trying to put everything in a chronological order so that everyone, all the supporters, I don't call them fans, I call them supporters, will be, you know, satisfied.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. It's got to be the series. What else?
Oh my God, I'm excited. like a scripted series?
I mean, you got to remember, you got to go and you got to walk through the times from
the Trap Queens.
When I was younger.
Right.
You know, growing up and being in kindergarten and noticing, you know, at 5 years old that, you know, this little boy was so cute to me. Like, I've always known. And then the women that have been in my life, my cousin Veronica and just Leisha, and it was just a lot of them, but they were, you know, we grew up in the hood, but we had a certain tenacity about ourselves, and they definitely had a certain sophistication. So they was not dealing with broke niggas at all.
No.
And at that time, in the 80s.
No. Definitely not.
They was getting too much money.
Nice.
So, you know, I just looked as a child and then looking at my mother.
Well, did that really happen in the movie? I don't want to give the movie away because if people want to stream it, whatever. But in the part in the movie where you're in the hospital and she had like a fur coat.
Yeah.
That really happened?
Yeah.
Great. That was such a great scene. I was like, oh my God, that is hilarious.
A lot of stuff that happened in the movie was not a lot of embellishing.
Nice.
I did not want that because I said, you guys have enough. So please do not put more on what you think it should be than what it is. Just leave the truth.
Yeah.
And I think that's why a lot of people really enjoy the movie, because it's very transparent and it's honest, and you can't make this shit up.
It's authentic.
Yeah, you can't make it up.
It shines through and you're authentic. And I think that's why people resonate with you. And I think a lot of people just not just one audience, right? Like the point is what I got from the film. What I got from the film was that any audience can watch this movie and take something away. I think that's the point, right? That's the point of your story. It's like no matter what walk of life, where you're coming from, where you grew up, what you went through, there's something in your story that I think almost anybody can resonate with.
I think for me, especially when it comes to a heterosexual man, they get a chance to see a different side of our community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I am gangster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're a gangster. Look at what you're doing now. Just because.
Right. I appreciate that.
You know, no, you are, because you hustling. This is like your hustle.
Yeah.
You moving around. Just because I say gangster, that doesn't necessarily mean that you some crime boss or, you know, you running around and you selling drugs. I mean, Tiffany is a, you know, she's a gangster.
Right.
Oh, she a real gangster.
She's a real one. You could tell.
You know, we you don't.
She got the shades off. She has not taken the shades off. Right.
But no, I mean, everybody is they're gangster in their own type of way. You know, people just have this fixation in their head on something, some negative connotation.
Right.
That a gangster is somebody that's bad. No. I mean, and then the guys, when it comes down to it, what I wanted people to see is how blended I was with not just my community, but with all communities. I could step and walk and reach all different walks of life and be in any room. I know how to dab.
Right.
Now, if we going to Uncle Lulu's
Right.
Picnic.
Right.
And cousin TT and them is right. going to be there. Right. Then I know how to be ghetto.
Right.
But if we get ready to do a political party, then I know how to be polite.
Right.
Very pristine. And what do they call it?
Very demure. Very mindful.
I've always been demure and mindful.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that that's, again, that's just that's something within. That must have been something like your mom and your family instilled in you. Right. Manners.
It's the root. I mean, manners. It's the roots. Just where... Manage. We came from, you know, when it comes down to my, you know, just knowing how to be able to set a table and, right. you know, knowing how to be able, like I said earlier, to eat a proper steak.
Right.
You know, and those type of things really, really matter. Like, yeah. don't use your fists like this and... You cutting a steak like a fucking caveman. Like, right. but a lot of people don't know that because right. they didn't have the etiquette of growing up in a certain household. But it's okay. Everybody could be, you know, everything is teachable.
Everything's teachable. And I think that that's, absolutely. Again, part of the purpose, right?
When you like, know better, you do better.
And the stereotype. Right? Exactly. Like the stereotypes, like breaking those stereotypes of people just like trying to put you in a box, a certain box.
No, I have never allowed myself to be in a box.
Ever.
No.
Ever. And the importance of that, right?
Yes.
Stepping in that, walking in that. Because there's so many times that, you know, and even just even as a woman, right? Mm-hmm. Like just even as a woman, like, you know, yeah. especially in the industry, and you know, it's just like you can only be this. You can only do this. And then
absolutely.
As you get, that's just the clock. Well, I'll edit that out. Not
seems
a problem.
That I haven't turned around and yeah, ran yeah. over time, huh, girl? That's no, on you. Good. Your ass is.
Oops.
It's okay,
but,
though.
No, but that can be edited. You know, putting women in boxes, putting you know, people of color, it doesn't matter, men, women, trans, LGBT, it doesn't, it's just like, there's still, I find, people and instances where there's just still stereotypes. And so being one yes. of the pioneers in that sense and walking in that path, on that path.
Yes.
Because there's something else kind of pushing you along, saying, Dwayne, I need you to go here. I need you to focus over here. And that's not because anybody's telling you.
Right.
Right? It's just like you keep going back to God and faith.
I mean, you have to go back to God and faith because when it comes down to it, and, excuse me, I made my family aware that, you know, I was transgender.
Mm-hmm.
And they was just like, they didn't know because they were not educated or anything like that. I just like the aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
So the estrogen and the spironolactone, I like that, but I'm still going to continuously mm-hmm. be Dwayne.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start taking hormone regimen and is inducting more
mm-hmm.
estrogen inside of you mm-hmm. and extracting the testosterone, then that ends up being trans. It's a form of transformation.
Yeah. yeah.
So I've never wanted to be a fully biological woman because I never could be. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't bleed or breed, then it's like we have to respect you. So I am completely content. And if people get, you know, misconstrued on the pronouns, just say Dwayne. That's my name.
Right.
It's a beautiful name.
It is.
And yeah. it's not made up.
Where did Dwayne come? Because I remember in the film you said.
My father.
Okay.
My father. Okay. Actually, I'm a junior.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Dwayne was Curry the last. Curry was the last name too? Your father's yes. last name too? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Dwayne Curry.
Wow.
And so, you know, I just kind of like removed like junior or whatever, but. Right. I mean, it's original. I mean, yeah. as original as it is,
yeah.
then you see how original the story is.
Right.
So if you can't remember the name, then just think about Gone with the Wind or the wind is blowing. Oh, the wind is high today. You know, that's like that. Me, the wind.
I
you
love
know,
that. Yeah. I love that. The wind, gone with the wind, gone right. with the wind. I love that. Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely.
I love that you just took some time out to come here, because I know you're busy right now with the film and interviews. And
yeah, Tiffany keeps throwing it on me, but it's okay.
But we love Tiffany. We love Tiffany.
I love her. She keeps
you busy.
Too.
She keeps you busy.
Girl, I was taking me a disco nap, and honey, she was like, you know you got to interview at 6, and I'm like,
oh, you're like, that's right, I do. But I appreciate you just making some time and speaking with us, and I'd love to have you back. And I
whenever you want.
I mean, hello. I could have you back every week if I wanted to. Anyway, but anyway.
Don't be greedy.
Hello. No. But next time we'll have like drinks and food, maybe. Maybe we'll do someplace where it could be like drinks and food. And
I just... know, y'all was on point.
Okay, I tried. But thank you so much, Dwayne.
Thanks to my cute little, I don't know what he is over there with them.
Our Essex. Editor, Dennis. But, you know, I appreciate you coming. I keep saying that. For folks, where can they find you? Where can they follow you? What do you have? We heard that some shows and stuff coming up, but, you know, where can we find you?
You can follow me on Dwayne the Original Diva.
Okay.
And that's on Instagram. And then Dwayne the Diva. But just put Dwayne in.
Just
it's
Dwayne.
Not going to be too many of them pop up.
Okay, good.
And if they do, then...
It's not the original.
No, it's just definitely they not like us. They not like us. Period.
Period. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers, baby.
Well, cheers. I'll drink from the bottle.
Okay, go ahead. Cheers. Push it on through.
Mm-hmm. Some Stoli.
Why not? Okay.
It's a Friday night.
It is. Enjoy yourself.
You know what I mean?
You have to enjoy yourself.
You have to.
You got to. I mean, it's look, being locked up and everything and just being free and you sitting here doing what you doing, and a lot of people don't have that luxury.
Mm.
So you have to embody that. Mm. You have to embody everything that you're doing. It's like a lot of times we want to sit up there and complain about certain stuff, but you know, when you look at it, you've got a good life.
Mm.
Yeah, and you're pretty.
Aw, Dwayne, so, likewise.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you.
Beautiful, inside and out, for real.
Yes, you as well.
I really do mean that.
Mirror, yeah. Mirror on the wall.
Who's the fairest of them all?
You are Diva. Fierce.
You are fierce.
You are fabulous.
You are fabulous.
You are beautiful.
You are beautiful.
Bitch, you are everything.
Bitch, you are everything! I live for Dwayne. Dwayne, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I want to hang out with you like every day. Anyway, we're going to catch that movie. We're going to stream that movie. I can't wait to see.
BET Plus. And then Mega Mind Media.
It's on Prime, too? It's on Amazon Prime, too.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Mega Mind Media. You know, shout out to Tressa Smallwood. Shout out to... Judge Mathis.
Judge Mathis. I was going to say, let's touch on Judge Mathis.
Kristen. Shout out to Jill Hunt. You know, and all the cuts. You know, when it comes down to it, with Greg Mathis, DeLine, everyone playing me. Just this is what they did, and they brought together such a great project. And this could have been a hit or miss. So no. I just want to say, Tressa, I love you so much. And Delise, I love you. And Judge Mathis, I love you. I appreciate everything. And BET Plus. But the ones that really believed in me, that Tressa and Delise, Definitely Delise.
Definitely Delise. We love you, Delise.
She was not playing. Yeah.
Delise was not playing. And I just, I'm really happy for her. I mean, as much as, you know, I'm happy for you too, yes. But I'm happy for her that you guys have this partnership and have kind of created this piece of work.
That she know I FaceTime her in a heartbeat. She be so mad at me. She's like, Dwayne, are you serious with the FaceTime? And I'm like, I am. Pick up.
Hi. You know? Hello. And she's like, ugh.
She's like, okay, hi. You know.
I get that way with FaceTime too. Yeah. It's not always fun times,
but I don't care if I got my bonnet on or what. Girl, I will FaceTime you.
Pick up the FaceTime.
In a heartbeat. Because they know what to do.
Right.
It'll get real cute.
Right.
It'll get cute.
Real cute.
I mean, sure.
That part.
I mean, I'm sure Beyonce has a bonnet on sometimes when they FaceTime her.
Of course. It's got to be in times. For sure. Thank you so much for being here. I so appreciate you. Tiffany, thank you for making it happen too. And I am Virgie Rodriguez here with A Race of Your Own. Please leave us your comments. Let us know. You got some questions for Dwayne. Stream Fighting to Be Me, the Dwayne Curry Story on BET+. And peace. Peace.